Father, we bless you this morning and we praise your holy name. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name. For you are worthy to be praised, you're worthy to be exalted. Father, thank you for your presence, for your joy, your peace, your love, your mercy, your grace that you have shown to each one of us. Amen. There's two verses of Scripture that in my life that I have always loved. And the first one I have think that since I was in high school was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You cannot trust in somebody that you don't know. And you cannot know somebody that you're not in relationship with. And it's a sad thing that God is so many times falsely accused and misidentified with who he is as a God of love and mercy and grace. But if we trust in him, he will direct our paths and show us the pathway that we are to take. The other verse is Jeremiah 29:11. I feel like a lot of people, especially Christians, have a false concept of who God is. They're still under the laws of do's and don'ts, and they still think that God is a God that is angry, and he's out to get us, and his wrath is against us. But that's not the God, or the true God, that we walk with. The true God that we walk with is a God of love, and a God of mercy, and a God of grace, and a God of peace. And in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Amplified Bible says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." And the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I know the plans that I have for you. God is a sovereign God. God is a God that said, so many times we want to question, "Well, Lord, we don't understand why this is happening or why this is going on." But God proposed in himself out before the foundation of the world that what he was going to do, his purposes, and the ending of his purposes is that all, that God will be all and in all, that he will gather all back into himself. And we have seen the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. And we have heard the word of God that he has told us that he that began a good work in us is going to bring that work to completion. God has his plans for our life. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you." In the King James Version, he says, "I know the thoughts." Actually, the word is plans. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. The Amplified says thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. And the NIV says plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's not out to get humanity. God's not got humanity hanging over hell with a thread and the flames leaping up to grab them, just waiting to get humanity. God is a God that said that in Christ, in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. God is the one that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only or uniquely begotten Son. God's Word says that it was God in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing, not keeping a record of our transgressions. God is the God that says, for He has placed our sin as far as the east is from the west. The plans that He has for us is plans for our welfare, our good being. It's the plans that all things work together for good, to the good to them that love God. The problem comes is where we're looking. If we're looking on the natural man, or the natural understanding, cannot understand the things of God. It's foreign to the natural man. We cannot see naturally why these things happen or what God has a plan for us. But when we look into the spiritual realm, God has the plan in the spiritual realm to gather all back into Himself. And His plans for us are good. He doesn't mean it for evil. We have the things that happen to us. You know, many times we don't stop to understand or stop to think that the fruit of the Spirit that He lists in Galatians. But just before that, He lists the works of the flesh. He didn't say the works of the devil. It says the works of the flesh. The flesh has certain works that come out of the natural realm because it has identified with the flesh realm. But as we come to know God personally, and that's the only way we can trust Him. That's the only way we can walk with Him. That's the only way that we can have joy and peace and love and grace in this life, is that we personally know who our God is and we understand Him. Because He has plans for our welfare, plans for our peace and not for evil. His thoughts to us is for thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give us an expected end, to give us hope and a future, to give us hope in our final outcome. See, when we trust Him, His words are revelation to us that has been concerning the manifestation of the sons of God. Our a hope is a precious hope that in that unveiling of His Son, and I did say sons, but it is a Son, a corporate Son that will be revealed in the earth. The outcome of that unveiling is that all of creation is going to set free. There'll be no more bondage. There'll be no more curse. There'll be no more sickness. That is bringing a drastic change upon this earth. But the first thing is that we, as His first fruit people, are being conformed to His image, are being transformed into His likeness. As we behold Him, we are being changed into the same image. And beholding Him, what does that require? Just looking at Him. There's no work there. There's nothing to be done. As we behold Him, His Word that is spoken to us is bringing change. In Psalms 139:17, it says, "How precious are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them!" How precious are Your thoughts unto me, O God! And the 139:17 says, "Your thoughts," the Message Bible, "how rare, how beautiful, God, I'll never comprehend them." Think of that. Your thoughts, how rare are Your thoughts, how beautiful, God, I never comprehend them. You see, your thoughts unto me, how precious are they? How does that sound like a God that is out to get you or out to make your life miserable? No, that does not. That sounds like a God that has your welfare at heart, that knows He knows the best for each of us. And it's through the realities of life that we come to trust Him more. And you've heard me say it over and over again, and I guess I'll continue to say it, that the woman in the wilderness, coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, said, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness, coming out of that experience of the reality of life, leaning on her beloved?" That woman had learned in the wilderness experience that she had no strength or capability within herself to walk this walk. She had come to the conclusion that she must lean on her beloved for the existence of her life. And that's what the scripture tells us. In Him we live. He is our life. We move and we have our being. In Him. In Him we are complete. We are complete in Him because He's the Creator. He created us in Himself before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world. He spoke a eulogy or blessings over us before the foundation of the world, that we should be His people, that we are a peculiar people, that we are kings and priests, that we are His habitation. So He said, "Your thoughts, how rare are your thoughts, O Lord? How beautiful are your thoughts, O Lord? God, I'll never understand them. I'll never comprehend them. How can you love one such as I?" Because what are we looking at? We are looking at this natural man of flesh and blood. We're looking at the exterior and not the reality of who we are. The reality of who we are is that we are spirit, that we came from out from God. A spirit being created in His image and His likeness. Then, and we have a body of flesh and blood that was lowered into this dimension of time, and from the time of our birth until the time of our passing, this old body is deteriorating, is dying. But that inward man is being renewed daily. That spirit man is being fed by God daily by His Word. That we are being, our mind, that soul realm, that our heart that Adam identified with in the garden, instead of identifying with the spirit, he identified with the solical realm. Our solical realm is being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the metamorphosis, the change that is happening within us. As we behold Him, we are being metamorphosed. That's what the word change there means. We are being metamorphosed into the same image. God loves us. God cares for us. And His thoughts toward us is so evident when your mind has not been so woven or tightened or formed by the tradition of men. If you're in the tradition of men, you only see those things through the eyes of the law or the do's and the don'ts or what man says. But when He sets you free from the tradition of men and sets your feet on the solid rock and opens your eyes to that spiritual realm, that you're not confined by the tradition of the men, then you can see the reality of who He is. when you spend time with Him, when you walk with Him, when you talk with Him, when you just sit in His presence, you realize the rare beauty of the thoughts that He has for you and I. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin." He was talking about Jesus. "For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." And I love this last part of that. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Amplified says, "For our sake, He made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him by His goodness." Notice it doesn't say your righteousness. In fact, the Word says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. In the natural realm, we could never be accepted in Him. But we are accepted in the Beloved. "For our sake, Christ was made sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as, being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in the right relationship with Him by His goodness." We have been made the righteousness of God. What a glorious and wonderful thought that is. That when I trust Him, when I don't lean on my own physical, natural understanding, but that I lean on Him and acknowledge in Him in all of my ways, that He will direct my paths. He will, with His eye, the Word says, He will guide us with His eye. He will show us the pathway. The darkness is light to Him. There's never any darkness in Him. The illumination of the Spirit is always brightness. And then He says, the thoughts that He thinks toward us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts and plans for our welfare and peace and not for evil, plans to prosper and not to harm us, that His thoughts toward us are thoughts of good, thoughts to prosper us, thoughts to give us hope, thoughts to give us peace, thoughts to give us a future. God, the Almighty, the Creator of all things, who created us in His likeness and His image, and formed our body, and breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. The God who created us loved us so much that He took us out of the equation. And I've often thought about that. When God began to make the covenant with Abraham, He told Abraham to lay the meat out as the custom was. And Abraham got everything ready. And when the time to cut the covenant came, God put Abraham in a deep sleep so that Abraham would have nothing to do with making the covenant or with having to perform that covenant. Man does not have to perform that covenant in Himself. God took that responsibility upon Himself because He knew how feeble man is. So it's His righteousness, not our righteousness. It's His peace. Paul said, I'm crucified. I'm dead. The Bible says, know you not that you were dead with him? You were crucified? Know you not you were crucified with Christ? But that I live, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We have been spiritually awakened to see the reality of who God is and who we are. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are those that He has called unto Himself in this hour to be a part of that first fruits company. He has given us a teachable heart and the spiritual ability to see His revelation and to hear His word and to know that what He says He is going to perform. The plans that He has for us, He's going to work out. He has what He has started, He's going to finish. And the good work that He has started, He is going to finish. God's going to bring it all forth in His time, in His image. The manifestation of the Son of God, the unveiling of His Son in the earth, is going to take place according to His timetable. And when that Son is under veil, Jesus Christ is the head. And that Son is going to speak out of the authority of God into creation to set creation free. So therefore, we behold Him. We see Him as He is. And as we see Him, we are changed, transformed, metamorphosed into the same image that He is. He says, as He is in this world, so are we. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. Father, we bless You. We lift You up. We praise You. Father, we adore You. For You are Lord of lords and King of kings. There is none that is to be compared unto You. O Lord, may only our spiritual eyes behold You as we see and hear Your revelation, Your unveiling of Your word within us that is changing, metamorphosing us into the same image. O Lord, that our relationship with You on that personal level may ever be increasing as we come to know You more intently and more each and every day as our lives are being changed, that day when it comes, that unveiling of Your Son in the earth, what a joy, what a wonder it is going to be as this world beholds Your corporate Son speaking out from the Father above, the words that are going to break the bondage, that are going to bring about the breaking and the freeing of creation from all of the bondage and the curse that it is under, that is going to set creation free according to Your word. What joy, what glory that day is going to bring. And Father, it is with great anticipation that we look forward to that day when You take the covers off and unveil Your sons in the earth. Oh, the joy of such a day. But Father, in this hour we walk with You. We live with You. We sit in Your presence. We walk in Your presence. We live in Your presence, O Lord. For we love You. We adore You. We bless You with everything that is within us. We worship You, O Lord. Amen.